Chapter 1, West London, April 2016. David hurried out of the shop and started to thread his way through the evening streets. Despite the milder weather arriving from the south, the evenings still retained their chill of the receding winter months. David wore his knitted gloves. Under his arm, he was clutching a rectangular package, wrapped in plain brown paper and secured with triple twist twine. In the pit of his stomach, an unfamiliar feeling of apprehension gnawed away at him. Using the scant light emitted from the window of an old antique shop, David checked his watch. The hands read 22:01. Damn it! Stopped! Not that it mattered. Time was not his friend tonight, and although he did not know it yet, time was running out for David. In fact, the instant he had handed over his cash to the esoteric shopkeeper, David had entered into a transaction he could not possibly afford. Equally, he had no way of predicting the dire consequences his purchase would bring about, not just for him, but for the entire planet. It all started with the innocuous rectangular package, wrapped in brown paper and secured with triple twist twine currently nestling under David's arm. He continued his journey, taking the most direct route back to his home, now and again stopping and checking over his shoulder to ensure he wasn't being observed. 20 minutes later, David was back among the meagre surroundings of his bedroom. He had managed to slip through the front door without alerting his landlady, Mrs. Reynolds, the ever-present sentinel. Mrs. Reynolds was an imposing third-generation German Jew, whose family had managed to escape the tyranny of the Nazi uprising back in 1938. After surviving the bombings of Göring's Luftwaffe attacks, they settled in the southeast of England. She had married a respectable Jewish business owner and enjoyed a comfortable life. But 12 years later, he died and she was left with his debts. Mr. Reynolds had managed to keep a secret gambling addiction from his wife, and when he gambled his business away to the horses, he took his own life rather than live with the shame that he'd brought to the family. More than a decade later, and with no income of her own, the bills kept on coming. Mrs. Reynolds had been forced to rent out the top room of her house so she could afford the mortgage. David was 2 weeks behind on his rent. David quietly closed the door to his bedroom and ensured that it was locked. In the 2 steps it took for him to cover the distance to his bed, he heard the familiar groan on the floorboards outside his room. "Oh, nosy old biddy," he thought, as he gently placed the parcel on the end of his bed and shrugged the coat from his shoulders. He let the coat fall to the floor, where it joined the rest of his wardrobe, and started to attack the string with bitten-down fingernails. From the corner of his eye, he noticed 2 foot-shaped shadows move in the light that was streaming underneath his door. "Good evening, Mrs. Reynolds," he shouted through the closed door. "Oh, sorry if I disturbed you. I'll pay you some rent tomorrow," he lied. The shadows shuffled away, the gentle creak announcing the silent departure of his duenna. David counted to 10 in his head before cracking open his door enough to see down the landing. He was just in time to see the departing shadow of a lumpish figure as it disappeared from sight, a slight wheezing accompanying it as it receded from view. Satisfied that he wouldn't be disturbed again, David returned his attention to the parcel, which was still perched at the foot of his bed. He picked it up, and reassured by its weight, he started to tug at the knotted string again. This time he tried using his teeth to loosen the binds that the shopkeeper had used. "Christ, that freaky old man was determined to make sure this damn thing was tied up nice and tight," David said out loud to himself in frustration. "It's almost as if he didn't want me to be able to open it." He thought about the bizarre conversation he'd had with the elderly shopkeeper whilst browsing the curious collection of artifacts displayed in the dusty shop. He remembered the old man had a funny accent, although he couldn't quite place where it was from exactly. Eastern European, Dutch perhaps. What he did know was that the shopkeeper was old, very old. David's stepfather would have said, "That man so old, he knew God when he were a lad." Out of all of the relics littering the shelves of the shop, the strange old man was very keen for David to see one item in particular. Perhaps a little too keen now David came to think about it. At first, David had rejected the notion that he needed to purchase a plain box with no obvious function, pretty though it was. His memory phased in and out with pieces of the conversation.
"But this box is no ordinary box, young man," the shopkeeper had insisted. If you want to make a serious amount of money, all you need is this box, David."
The shopkeeper had grabbed hold of David's hand and cupped it with an icy palm, pressing hard and drawing him in closer. David could smell the garlic and brandy on the man's breath. He recalled the old man fixing him with a long, poignant stare before continuing.
"Why don't you take it home and try it out? If you still don't want it by this time tomorrow, you can bring it back and I will give you a full refund. Do not make the mistake of turning your back on destiny, David."
It transpired that at this exact moment in David's life, motivation by the potential of making money was all the encouragement he needed. So here he was, now fighting to unwrap the package and getting more irate as the knots only seemed to tighten the harder he pulled at them. One of the knots began to loosen, just enough for David to prise the twine over the edge. Now divested of the triple twist, he sought out the folded edge of paper with his index finger and inserted it under the gap. In one swift movement, David swiped his finger through the adhesive tape that the shopkeeper had used to secure the ends. The fresh tape had not had enough time to bond with the paper and easily detached itself without much resistance. David carefully slid the paper wrapping down with one hand while gripping the edge of the packet with the other, revealing with almost reverential care the treasured contents within. He let the discarded wrapping fall to the floor and paid no more mind to it. David's attention was now fully focused on the object he was holding in his hands. For a long time he just stood, unmoving in the middle of his room, staring at his purchase, whilst being bathed in the scintillating moonlight that penetrated through his window. Shafts of lunar illumination played across his face, casting their sinister shadows over the contours of his features. The rectangular shape that had demanded so much attention was roughly the same shape as a Monopoly game board. The base was constructed from a grey metallic substance that seemed to shimmer without any light shining on it. The sides felt like they were made from a smooth glass which reflected the shimmering light up from the base towards the top panel, which was silky smooth to the touch and completely opaque. There were no visible joins or discernible markings evident. The entire box appeared to be a single construct, devoid of any decoration or design. David could see his reflection staring back at him from the highly polished milk glass surface, and realised his mouth was hanging open. It was a characteristic not peculiar to David alone, but one which his mother would usually be on hand to chide him over.
"You'll catch flies if you go around with your mouth open, Davy," she would say.
However, today she was not available to issue such a rebuke. In fact, David hadn't seen much of his mother since he left home for uni, and that was coming up to 18 months ago. Despite the difficulties he was having with the budgeting of his meagre salary, he was determined to live his life independently from his mother's influence. He knew she would not be able to help him out financially. She could barely make ends meet for herself. No, it was clear, David was going to have to learn to support himself, and this box was going to be his means to achieve it. He pushed all other thoughts from his mind and returned his attention to the object in his hands. Over the next half hour, he studied the box with forensic care. He angled his desk lamp to try and get a better light. The box seemed to absorb the entire 40 watts of energy his bulb was capable of emitting. He opened the desk drawer and rummaged about in the accumulated collection of detritus. In amongst the dead batteries, old charging cables and leaking biros, he found the unopened, super-bright LED torch he'd been given for his last birthday.
"The power of the sun in your hands,"
the catchy slogan read on the packaging. He ripped open the blister pack with his teeth and removed the torch. He pressed the rubber switch located in the base and squinted as the clinical brightness of the diodes bathed his room in a crisp white light. He directed the beam onto the surface of the box. His room went dark as the box absorbed every last lumen. The aluminium body of the torch heated up as the box drained the power from the batteries in 10 seconds flat. David yelped and dropped the torch, which fused into the melted fibres of his polyester carpet.
Bugger!
He picked the box up and started to turn it over. As soon as his bare hands came into contact with the strange material, he realised it was warm to the touch, something he hadn't noticed before because of his gloves. There was a tangible feeling of warmth radiating from it. The air immediately surrounding it was unaffected, but without physically being warm, the box was warm. He placed his palms on the top and felt a slight surge in the heat. He quickly withdrew his hands, frightened he'd get burnt again. The box reacted to his touch, The surface changed slightly, revealing two shapes. The moment David withdrew his hands, the shapes disappeared in a ripple and the surface smoothed out again, leaving the top in its pristine condition. David reached out a tentative hand again, this time leaving it on the surface for a bit longer. He felt the heat build again, but it didn't burn. He placed the other hand on the surface of the box and watched as two hand-shaped indentations materialized, each with hundreds of tiny perforations covering their surface. He removed his hands and the indentations disappeared again, replaced with the unblemished glossy surface. This discovery warranted a single utterance.
Cool.
As far as David could see, there was nothing else about the box that gave any indication as to its purpose, with the exception of the magic handprints, which invited you to place your hands into them without directly telling you to do so. He walked over to the small table in the corner of his room, sweeping the contents away with his forearm and sending them crashing to the floor. The noise was bound to alert Mrs. Reynolds, but David was too enamoured by the box to care. He lowered the box onto the table, using the same amount of care a first-time mother would placing her newborn baby in its crib. He hooked an ankle around a nearby stool and dragged it across the carpeted floor and sat down, his back ramrod straight, his head unbowed, eyes looking straight ahead but not seeming to see anything. Now that he was touching it, David was transfixed by its spell. This was one example of the strange allure that the box possessed. It had an almost mesmeric attraction which effused over one's consciousness as if something otherworldly was in control. Subconsciously, however, it guided the operator instinctively, which was just as well as there were no instructions that came with it. The box built a growing desire with a rewarding feeling of sublime satisfaction once you had completely surrendered your will to it, and that was exactly what David did. Using the tips of his fingers, David began feeling around the edges and the side of the box until he came across a slight indentation. He pushed it and felt a small square give way to the pressure of his touch. A soft click announced the sudden detachment of a hidden section, which now ejected itself, much like a CD-ROM tray would on a laptop computer. David grabbed hold of the object and pulled it clear. He inspected this new addition to the box, noticing that it was an isosceles triangle, roughly 3 inches by 6. Offset at the top centre was a transparent circular disc made from a crystal and fashioned into a lens. David placed a finger behind the lens and noticed that it had magnified to twice its original size. He set the triangle down in the centre of the opaline surface, where it seemed to almost levitate on a micro cushion of air, the way two opposite poles of a magnet would repel each other. The slightest touch, the merest breath, would be enough to send the device skidding across the frictionless surface. For now it just sat suspended in mid-air, defying gravity. David instinctively glanced over his shoulders, checking for any lurking shadows. He lifted both of his hands and simultaneously placed them, palm down onto the box, and watched the two identical indentations appear again. This time, though, there was a palpable shift in the mood of the room. Something vaguely sinister pervaded the atmosphere, as the box appeared to be breathing. It began to emit an invisible wave of pulsating dark energy. The instant David's hands touched the surface, two steel bands sprung over his wrists, accompanied by a metallic swishing noise, locking his hands to the box. The steel bands completed their arc and disappeared into the surface, where unseen mechanisms grabbed hold of them, drawing them down and tight over David's hands. At the same time, pushing up through the myriad of perforations, hundreds of hollow-pointed needles drove upwards, embedding their razor-sharp tips into the fleshy underside of David's trapped hands. Oddly, there was no sensation of pain, neither was there any suggestion of panic on David's face. He calmly accepted what the box was doing to him, as if it was the most natural thing in the world to be happening to him right now. Within seconds of the needles plunging into David's skin, the surface of the box began to change. Beneath the laminations, 5 rivulets of red semi-viscous liquid emanated from each hand, branching off from the fingertips, and began to travel along hidden channels. From the left-hand side, they rose up to the edge of the surface, before arcing over to the right, where they started to reveal a row of numerical digits ranging from 0 to 9. The right-hand threads fed across the bottom to the far left, the advancing red ink describing all 26 letters of the alphabet in a Germanic Gothic script. Finally, both rivulets joined up into the centre to complete the outline of a magnificent eagle, its pointed wings outstretched and its hook-beaked face pointing to the left. As the red outlines filtered downwards, the most chilling finale was etched. In its taloned feet, the eagle clutched an oak leaf circle, surrounding an instantly recognised icon of hatred, a Pfeilfott, better known to millions of persecuted souls as the Nazi swastika. Two words resolved at either ends of the wingtips, Ja and Nein. The box was now complete in David's blood and was intrinsically linked to his own life force. During the solitary initiation ceremony, it had bonded with his molecules at a paraphysiological level. The needles automatically retracted and the steel bands were released with a clunk. He watched as they swished back with the same alarming speed they had emerged with. David removed his hands from the box and brought them up to his face for closer inspection. Small red dots covered the entire underside of his palms. Ripples ricocheted around the top of the box for a few seconds before solidifying once again into the smooth opalesque surface. A slight numbing sensation began to build from the centre of David's body. He looked down at the box and saw the intricate Gothic design comprising of the letters and the numbers, the chilling Nazi eagle drawn in his own blood, and the hovering planchette.
"That was trippy," he managed to croak.
Seconds later, his world dissolved into the inky blackness of oblivion as David passed out.